I actually tell people to seek the no as aggressively as possible. Because what most founders do when they go out to raise money is they try to optimize for yes.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
What are we talking about today?
So we're doing something totally different. It's not really that different, but it's more deliberate. So we're going to talk about how to say no the right way.
Yes.
And we're going to do it through some scenarios and tactics. And the reason we're doing this is because we had a long debate about how to say no already.
We recorded, I think it was recorded, right, Sam?
What?
The everything we said prior to recording the video.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have
He's got some shit.
So we recorded the pre-discussion.
Awesome.
And for people that are on the Facebook group and on our email list, more important, go to thestartupchat.com and join the email list. And if you listen to this episode, we'll send you the pre-discussion to the episode, right?
Yes.
This is exclusive.
Yes.
All right.
Our shitty conversation.
Yes. How we get to the episode sometimes.
That's right. All right, so give me a scenario that you want to discuss that you think, you know, people have, a common one.
Yes.
Where we've had to say no or people have had to say no. Let's talk about it.
A prospect or even a customer asking for a feature or something in your product that you know you don't want to build, but it's not the right thing to build.
Yeah.
Right? So they're telling you, oh, we would be spending more money or we would buy this if you only build, you know, a little AI component, you know, a little artificial intelligence in your social mobile app would make us buy this immediately.
Oh, so people have asked for that with close.io.
Of course, all the time.
It's like, hey, make it do sales for me automatically. Got it.
You know, here's a good example. People ask us all the time for something that's super reasonable, which is like a strong mobile app. And we tell them no. We know that we want to have a stronger mobile
presence,
but we're not going to have the best mobile CRM in this space because we're all about inside sales.
Yeah.
So we have to tell people no about this every single day.
Ah, because it's more of a field sales thing.
Yes.
Is it that your common customer is on the desktop?
Yes.
Yeah, so just to spit out a strategy,
because
we can do two or three for each one, right? The one that I love the most is that's an opportunity to educate the customer about your product and why you wouldn't do that. So what you just said is exactly what I'd say to them. So if the customer's like, hey, you should add some AI, or I'm sorry, you should have a mobile app, or like, you know, if you had a mobile app, I'd love to use it. But like, actually, our customers, they've never requested a mobile app because the majority of them are at their desktop all day, every day, with headphones on, doing phone calls.
Right. So that's exactly what we do today.
Yeah.
So you just tell the customer, hey, I totally get where you're coming from. I hear you. Here's the reason why we do what we do, and here's why that doesn't fit into that roadmap. Sometimes it makes sense to, when you're not sure, it makes sense to ask them why they want it and see if there's a workaround.
Yeah.
But we want to focus on the times
you know you're not going to say no. Let's say this one you have to say no.
So you just have to say no. So,
but I go further. I'll say no, and I'll go give them an option of somebody else.
Yes.
Even a competitor.
Yes, all the time.
In fact, like when I used to do that, we used to get more word of mouth at Crazy Egg. I used to do that like all the time.
We have a drip email. One of the best converting emails is like a very, very long email where I talk about the history of the company, why we build what we build and how we build it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I tell people, if you're in one of these scenarios, you need to buy the product. And I end it on, if you're one of these three scenarios, you cannot buy the product.
Yeah.
Just ping me and I'll give you a better recommendation.
Nice.
I get it all the time. People email me going either, hey, I fit in one of these criteria, what should I do? And I just give them advice what to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes people fit in their criteria and then they want to challenge me on it. Like, well, yes, I only have this, but why can I still not use your product? And they try to fight me or challenge me on the
This is like one of the last emails you sent during the trial, one of the first. I'm just curious.
No, it's very tactical. This is in the middle.
You're saying no in an email.
Yeah, I'm saying no
in an
email. Yeah, yeah. And
like
people love it. We get huge response rates to that email.
So that almost feels like a preemptive no. You're almost saying no to them about something before they even have the chance to think about it.
I'm trying to tell them when it doesn't make sense for them to buy our product.
Awesome.
Right? So, and this is fairly early in the trial period.
So say no to them before they even ask, or before you have to say no to them?
That's a good one, which goes back in the sales field to like you want to qualify them. And qualifying goes two steps. First, I want to figure out, can I help you? And then I want to figure out, can you help me? So if I can't help you, if I ask you a few questions, I figure out I can't help you, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you what else to do, right? I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, you're still helping them. You're just not helping them by selling
exactly,
them.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So it's more like if I can't convert you because it's not good for you, then I'll give you another option.
Yes, I still create value. I will still.
So you haven't said no then. You've just said, we're not right for you. That's not really a no.
That's different. That's different.
We're not right for you.
Yeah,
and here's
we're
why.
Not right for you.
But I've heard you out and I know we're not right for you and here's why.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that's a pretty good kind of discussion around the feature kind of thing.
Yes.
I think I would love for you to talk for like really quickly about from a sales process perspective, why you would say no and how it helps sales to say no. Because I know you've got that, but I don't think people understand this.
So it's important to say no for a variety of reasons. Number one is you don't want to, we never ever ever want to sell to the wrong customer. Because selling to the wrong customer is creating a...
They will eventually churn.
They will eventually churn.
And cause support. Lots of support, right?
Cause lots of support. They will churn. There will be very bad word of mouth because they're going to be very unhappy because we made them fail. Yeah. We allowed them to fail on our platform.
I love it.
And they're going to, and that has internal problems, right? It's going to cause morale issues, sales issues where you people got commissions for things that now they have to give back. Or it's just... it's just wrong and bad in every way. You make a very
If you don't say no to a customer, you're actually going to end up losing money.
A lot of it. Time. A lot of it. And morale.
Okay.
Which is the most important resource you have.
So that's the thing to internalize. That's the thing. Okay. I like that.
So you as a sales organization, you want to close successful customers. Not just customers, successful customers.
So you want to close customers that you can make successful.
Yes.
Right. And it's your job to determine that, not theirs.
Not theirs. They're not experts
in
this.
So I think that's what people forget.
Yes.
Right. They go, I mean, and this is where there's the solution sale and the challenger sale and all this shit, right? I don't know how you feel about all that. But like everyone makes a name up for it. I'm surprised you don't have a framework.
Of course.
Sorry, once that's my sales hate.
Once I write the millionth sales book, I'll be the fuck you method, you know, to
some people. Oh, love it. No, the fuck you sales method. Mind blown. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Another scenario of when people need to say no.
Negotiations.
Example. Like negotiating what?
Negotiating on price. I'll give you a recent example. A customer goes through a trial, a big account. We extend the trial. They get lots of handholding training, all that. 11th hour, the last day where they had to like sign the contract, a 1-year prepaid contract for us. They tell us, oh, we've been trialing this competitor of yours the entire time in parallel. And they give us this dramatically lower price. If you can be a little lower than that, we'll go with you. If not, we'll go with them.
So that's a price-sensitive customer. Is that a customer you guys want?
That's a beautiful question.
Yeah.
Because in our case, no.
Okay.
Right. So
why?
Because we care about value, not about price. We're not going to be the cheapest.
So
solution
you don't want to you don't want to sell to someone that's saying, "I want it cheaper." Basically.
No.
That's just a criteria. Like if someone comes and you hear any sense of they want it cheaper,
then they're not a good customer for us.
Awesome.
Yes. So in this case, what you need to do is you need to know, like you want to know where to draw the line in the sand, what you're willing to do or not to do, who's right for your business and who you are right for.
Right.
And then when somebody comes up with something like this in this scenario, you need to tell them, hey, here's, well, what we did in order to say no here. Well, first we said no, right? Oh, sorry.
No, we will not reduce our price.
We will not
price.
Reduce
this
our,
is our
price.
Price.
Yes. Now, let me ask you, if price was not a question, what's the better product? Yeah. What's the better product?
What's you're serving you better? What do you think you're going to be more successful with?
I already know the answer to that question
at that
point. Of
course, it's you guys.
Yes, because not only I know it, but even if I didn't know it, if somebody trials us for that long of a time and they jump on a call with me to tell me they need a better
price,
they want my product, right?
That's correct.
So
that's actually true. It's an interesting thing that you're saying. People don't realize that.
If I liked the other product better and the other product, the other company gives me a much cheaper price, why am I wasting my time on a call?
Talking to these guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, love
so
it.
I know.
So you got into their, you have a strong assumption about their psychology.
Yes.
Which probably is accurate.
I have a pretty
strong
assumption that they want to buy our product. So I'll ask, hey, which product did you like best if price wasn't an issue? They say, well, they have some positives, you have some positives, it's a wash. And I'm like, if it's a wash, I want you to go with them.
Yeah.
Right? If it doesn't matter, I want you to go and find the cheapest price you can.
Because you're right.
You know
what you should do.
Yes, and you know
for
what?
Your business.
And you know what? I'm again to being helpful. I'm going to be a resource for you and help you get an even better price. I'll send you a fake email about us undercutting them, and then you forward them that email and get an even cheaper price.
Yeah, it's all good.
Right? Because I'm not in the get the cheapest price business. I want to help you crush it.
And if another customer or if another company gets that customer and they really want the cheaper price, you'd rather have them have the customer.
Yeah. So
it's likely a not as profitable customer.
Yes.
If you just think about it. Yes. Because they're paying you less money.
And,
period.
And because if all they care about is price, the moment another competitor approaches them with an even lower price, they're gone. Right?
Well, no, and here's the beauty of it in your market. There's a CRM called HubSpot that's free.
Yeah.
They should go use it.
Yeah.
If price is their problem, you should be like, here you go. I'll give you a free. Yeah. There's a free one over here. Like, go. Like, it's cool.
And so in this scenario, the person was clearly negotiating. Because if I tell you no, and you're still talking to me, again, I know you want it.
Awesome.
Like, if I say no, the other person goes, all right, then buy it. Then I know, oh, that person was for
real.
That's
pretty much the power of no in sales right there.
Yeah.
Right?
So then the funny thing in this conversation was, the person goes, you know, hand waves and tries to like find a way to make this conversation work.
So they're still trying to find a discount.
And then he admits, yes, I like your product a little bit better, but I can't justify this price. It's such a big difference, blah, blah, blah. So, and he pushes me to give him just a little bit of a better price. And I tell him, listen, it would be totally unfair to all my other customers.
Awesome.
And, right? So I don't want to do that because whatever I do to you, you're going to know I do to everybody else.
Yeah.
And we're creating so much value. It makes no sense to have this discussion even. Yeah. And then the guy pushes again and goes, all right, so here's what I want you to do, Steli. Just think about this. We're going to be this big of a customer, that much revenue. You really want to lose this because of da-da-da-da-da. Just think about the best price you can give me and send me an email. And I told the person.
Oh, it's the price I already gave.
Yes.
It's the price I already gave you.
It's going to be a very disappointing email to you because you're going to read exactly what I told you an hour ago.
I'll tell you right now.
Right? If it makes you happy, I'll send you that email. No, but there's not going to be zero difference to what I just said.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I knew I'd won.
Yeah.
Right? Intuitively, I was pretty certain of it. Yeah. But he could not lose face in that conversation. So he had to end on that note. And I was like, all right, sure. I'll send you an email with this. And I said it, and not to say, like, not, I didn't hang up and go, they're going to buy in the next second. I hung up and go, maybe they'll buy, maybe they won't.
But I'll send the email because he wants it.
Yeah. And then they bought, right? In this example, they bought. Yeah. But
and they're a happy customer?
They're a happy customer. Awesome. They were acquired, actually. This is a while back. It happened recently, but this is an example that happened a while back. And they were just very recently acquired. So, and that guy who was like leading their sales team is now starting a new company, and I helped him with his YC application. So we're all good.
You're homies.
We're all good.
So, and you learned how to do sales. I'm hoping because of you.
There you go.
Great.
So
okay, cool.
So here's how you say no on the pricing debate, right?
Yeah.
You tell people that you make it not about price at first and see, is this really about value? Are we the better product?
Yeah.
How much value do we really create for you? And then you tell them it's unfair to everybody else. Yeah. You know, and this is the price that you can give that's fair, right? And then they take it or they don't.
I love when a salesperson tells me they won't discount. So
there you go.
It's actually a key question I ask in sales.
All right.
You're trying to win the sale. What do you do?
What do you do? There you go.
Like it.
You
okay.
Go. And that's the sloppy, to me, that's the biggest sign that somebody is sloppy in sales.
It's discounting.
Discounting. It's the cheapest
thing
to do.
Especially right when someone asks.
Yeah. The other thing that salespeople love to do, or bad salespeople love to do, is to say yes to feature requests and things of that nature. Right?
Oh, so, of course.
Of course, right?
And then they go bug product and engineering, like, when are we going to have that? What does the roadmap look like?
Because
obviously, product has no clue.
Because obviously, if I just say yes to everything a customer tells, then I don't have to work, right? There's nothing to sell. I just say yes to everything, and then they give me money.
So it's the easiest sales job doing it like that. That makes sense.
And it's tough not to do that. It's tough to be in a market where you have to tell no to your prospect and still win them over, right?
And the funny thing is, in enterprise sales, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They would just say yes because it was such big money and such big deals. I mean, this is where people learned it from. But inside sales, it's not like that.
Yeah.
You can probably not support the customer if you say yes to everything.
Yes to everything, for a customer
including
that's worth
discounts,
like a few thousand
features.
Dollars
yeah.
in customer lifetime value, you can't just say yes to everything.
No, you
can't.
You can't
support you need to be disciplined about that. All right, so this is the customer scenario. Let's talk about an interview scenario because we're hiring right now at Close Eye, so we're interviewing all the time.
So you're saying no a lot.
We say no a lot.
All right.
Jesus. Way more than with prospects, right, than customers. And there, one interesting thing that I've noticed is like listening to different conversations that my team has.
Yeah.
Some people follow that the trend of like if this is a 30-minute interview that we scheduled, sometimes they'll pick up within the first 5-10 minutes that no, this person is not a fit, but they'll still go through the 30-minute conversation. And then some other people, one particular other individual that I noticed yesterday, will be like, he's the fastest in like telling people. So he had a conversation with somebody yesterday and like within literally like what felt like 3 minutes, he was like, all right, let's just stop the conversation here. I don't want to waste your time. I don't think this is going to be the right fit for you. So I don't want to spend the next 27 minutes talking about this. And, you know, they chit-chat a little bit and they wrapped it up, right? And so let's talk about telling candidates no.
So how did that person say no? Do you recall?
Yeah. So
was it a good way?
It wasn't a good way. This is the guy that's doing a lot of sales at Closeout, Kevin, and he's using what he would do with a prospect with a candidate, right? So he told them, hey, this is the reason why I don't think this is a good fit, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then I might know some, I have some friends that have companies that are hiring where I think you could be a good fit. Are you interested in me making an introduction? Is there anything else I can be helpful or useful? Like, can I be useful and valuable in any other way? Because I can't hire you here.
Yeah, so like, here's what's interesting, right? The same tactic that works on prospects, your team is using on interviews and candidates, right? Yeah. And the commonality that I see, which is something that I like to follow, which is regardless of whether it's a yes or no, just try to do the right thing for that person.
Yeah.
And if it's a no, the right thing is help them out.
Yeah.
Whatever you can do. And it doesn't have to be a 30-minute conversation, but you can talk to them for 10 more minutes, right? Just be like, yo, here's why. Right, and here are companies I think are a good fit, or here's what I think you need to do in your future interviews, or whatever. Right,
right.
Give them some advice on like how to be better.
Right,
right, and in both cases, you're just trying to help them out, regardless of whether you're saying yes or no. So I think the thing is like, people want to be helped. People are happy. I mean, I know this really well, but like, people are really happy when you actually truly listen to them and help them.
Yeah.
Right. So I think you could do that in either of those scenarios where you actually listen to them and help them, and then all of a sudden you take a 30-minute interview, turn it into 15, said no, and someone's pretty actually happy with you and what you did as an interviewer.
So let's talk about saying no to requests for meeting for coffees.
Okay.
Because I think you are particularly great at dealing with people in your inbox and managing this.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody in our Facebook group, go to thestartupshed.com/FB for
nice
Facebook.
Nice ad there.
There you
we
go.
We don't have ads.
We don't have ads on
this. Go to the Facebook group. That's
go to our Facebook group. We're approaching, we're like at 700 people. We're going to be at 1,000 soon. So make sure to be part of the community. But somebody there mentioned how to say no to all these random coffee meeting requests getting.
Yeah.
Right? So how do you do it? Do you say no? Like, how do you, when you want to say no, how do you do it the right way?
Yeah. So one line that you'll see me commonly use is, let's start by email.
Yes.
And so they usually say, so there's a few scenarios, right? One is like the introduction that's a coffee meeting that might not be contextual because someone just decided to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not one to say, don't do that to me. I don't mind. You intro me to somebody, cool. It's on me. I don't really care like about you asking me and all that. I know there's all this etiquette stuff, but like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll say that first. So I get a lot of these intros and someone's like, hey, I want to introduce you to person X, Y, and Z. They have this business. And usually that's where it ends. So let's talk about that common one, right? What I'll do is I'll say, let's start by email. And then I'll ask them a question. Tell me more. And it's pretty generic, actually. It's tell me more about your business and any kind of feedback or questions that you have for me. Because for me specifically, if they want a coffee meeting, they want my feedback on something. That's like 99% of my meetings, right? And so I just push it off to email, and I literally say, "But let's start by email." But what I'm doing is basically making them articulate what the hell they want.
What they want,
right?
Yeah.
And give me context. And generally, those don't result in a coffee meeting.
Yeah.
They result in being like, "Oh, thank you for your feedback. I've got a bunch of shit to do now," right? And it's not because I'm good or anything. It's just because I said, "Hey, tell me what's up. Whatever. Just tell me what's up," right? Because to me, and here's how I treat those meetings. If you want a meeting, there's an intent with them. If I don't know the intent, then I'm not going to know whether it's a coffee meeting, a phone call, or even an email that can solve your problem. And the thing I've realized is that 9 out of 10, it's an email. Now, here's the thing. If someone introduces me and they're local and I can find a way to meet with them, great, right? But usually even those, I could have solved them in email. So I try to push a lot of the feedback or coffee meetings just back to email. The reason is email happens on my own time. It's not synchronous where it's happening at the same time and I need to respond right away.
Right.
It's literally like if I respond within usually 1 to 2 days on that, people are pretty happy, right? So it's just about pushing it to a channel that you prefer.
Right.
So if you're somebody who loves instant message, right, or whatever, and you're like always on chat, then go push them to chat. If it's a Skype thing and you can push them to text on Skype. The thing, the advice I would give people on this is like, if someone wants to meet with you, there's a reason. Figure out that reason.
Yeah.
And it's likely you can solve it without the meeting. But people just don't think of it like that.
Yeah. So this is something I've learned from you. And I'm starting to experiment with it a lot because So what would tend to happen is that lots of people ask me for coffee meetings or for just a quick call.
Yeah.
I used to say yes too much for a while on the call side of things. Yeah. And my solution was to go from like an hour to 30 minutes to then 15 minutes. And now all my calls are like just 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But even that didn't scale.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time saying no to entrepreneurs. So this is a weak spot, right? Yeah. So, and then eventually...
But don't say no.
So eventually I started saying no to some of these people. Just going, hey, I'd love to be on a call. I can't make it like the next... So here's my solution.
I don't even say that. Let's start by email.
I'm giving my progression. I want to make a progress.
You're validating my approach. All right, let's go.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Bring it.
So I used to say... He was my way of saying no. I would say, hey, right now is a really busy time, check with me again in a month.
Yeah.
And this was my way of like, if you're really serious, I'll hear from you in a month and I'll give you my call. If not,
can I talk about why I don't like that?
Yes. I know why you don't like it.
Oh, you know why. Why don't I like it?
You don't like that. Well, there's multiple reasons. It's like you're not really creating value in that interaction. Yeah, right. We went back and forth, right?
I'll say the simple reason. The reason I don't like that is if they want help now, give them fucking help now.
All right.
They don't want to wait a month.
So,
and you shouldn't want to have it. So you don't want to be bothered by them in a month either. Trust me. That's true.
But then here's something you can learn from me.
Yeah.
Trust me. Out of 10 people that tell you they'll check back in with you in a month, 2 will.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yes.
But I want to be helpful.
That's fair.
All of them.
So here's what I've started learning from you. I'm trying to give you props here. You're giving me a hard time.
No, I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm just pointing some stuff out.
So yesterday, somebody on Facebook writing me if they can just have a 20-minute call. It's something super simple.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, if it's super simple, why haven't you already articulated what it is?
Yeah, let's go.
So that's what I did. I said, send me an email about what this is about.
Yeah.
Then they sent me an email. And it was very easy for me to just go, they said, well, it's about this and this and this and this and this and this thing. What should I do? And it was not enough context. So I went, who's your customer?
More questions.
Who's the person you're going for?
Yeah.
And now they sent me this massive email and I was able to just scan through it and then give one suggestion.
That's right.
Right. Now, having said that, you know, this is still something I'm struggling with sometimes, especially when people write me very long emails.
Yeah.
I have a very little tolerance level for that. And I don't want to have to go through the work of like scanning and finding the information.
Yeah.
So my initial response when I see long emails like that from somebody like that is that I just want to archive it. And I just go, I don't have the patience for it right now.
Yeah.
So when I work through my email, one habit that I picked up noticing is that when I tell people to push it to email and they write me too long of a thing, I have this inner urge to get away from that.
Yeah.
What I've started doing to combat that is to just learn to scan better, but also I started replying saying, could you summarize this? Or could you tell me what the main thing is here that we need to take away?
Here's what's interesting about that. I have a really easy hack on that, which doesn't require them to summarize, which is literally do it on your phone. Only respond to those long ones that are feedback or like that on your phone. That works for me.
I don't do email on phone.
Yeah, and I do.
Yeah, deinstalled email on phone.
Fine.
So it won't work for you.
Yeah. For me, I do it on my phone. The reason I do it on my phone is it's actually easier for me to read on my phone.
Hmm.
And when I'm on my computer, I'm actually very active.
Hmm.
Right? I'm not very active when I'm on my phone. So it's like I'll read somebody's thing. In fact, here's the funny thing. And this is like way out there, probably philosophical, but to me, we need to all learn how to communicate better. And that's probably what we're, not even probably, just watching my kids, I know that that's the lifelong journey, is about how do you communicate with other people effectively, right? Yeah. If I'm able to read that email and parse it and summarize it myself, that's an effective thing I want to get better at. So I'll take their long emails. I'm like, bring your fucking long emails. It's all good. I'll summarize it myself. I'll skim it. But like, I'm very good at skimming.
Yes.
Right? And my speed, my reading rate of that kind of stuff is very high.
Yeah.
My story reading rate or like, you know, books, very low.
Yeah.
But like that thing, because I do email a lot, dude, it's easy.
It's
I love the long email. Send me the long email,
exactly,
dude. Let's go.
The opposite for me, right?
Tell me like, more. It's information. It's data.
Give me the biggest book and I'll read it and enjoy it. Send me a long email and I like the moment I see it, I go, well, fuck you, dude.
You probably just need to change your relationship with email. And I'm not, I know I'm telling you something that's hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's an interesting point, but let's stick on the philosophical come back to the no and rejecting things, which is, you know, in our pre-chat, we talked about like the reasons why people are probably not great at saying no.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that the reason why people don't like to say no is because they don't want to reject others because they're afraid of the reaction of that. So I think most people have a life that practiced avoiding saying no, avoiding yeah. speaking so, their mind truthfully, so, and just either so being to polite
me,
or
to
just
me, to me, there's two things, right? There's like a short-term feeling if you say no, versus a long-term feeling mm-hmm. if you were actually helpful to them.
Yep.
So I focus on the long-term feeling, not the short-term.
Yep.
But by focusing on the long-term, the way I do the short-term, they don't feel like slighted or anything. Because the thing is, here's the funny thing. If someone emails you or someone asks for a meeting or whatever, they already know you're busy. That's why I don't even get into the, oh, I'm busy or I'm doing this. I think busy is a stupid word. Yep. It's probably a whole podcast you and I can go on.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like they emailed me. They want to meet, but they just want some help.
Yeah.
And so I just transfer it over and be like, okay, how can I be helpful? Or try to figure out how to be helpful instead of worrying about saying no to them, because I'm not really saying no to them. So the philosophy.